Well, the Champions League is back. Another 189 matches to look forward to. And there's more Premier League involvement than ever before, with six English teams taking their place in the competition. So plenty to look forward to on this season's first edition of the Euro Assist. Welcome along to the Euro Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by Jack Ogilby to talk you through his thoughts and our thoughts ahead of the match day one in the Champions League. And before we go through the games individually, Jack, it's obviously something to get excited to each year when this time of the competition comes around. And well, to me, I'm not sure about your thoughts. It looks like possibly one of the most open Champions Leagues we've had for a while.
Yeah, it is very open. There's some big names that haven't qualified, but then three new clubs to the scene, really, with Bode Glimt, Paphos and Kairat Almaty. I think now we've had one season of the new league phase, teams may have a better idea of how things might unfold. We saw PSG only win one of the first five games of the league phase last season, but they got better as the campaign went on, which was the opposite of what they've done in previous seasons, where they've hit the ground running but been undercut come the knockout stages. Their actual fixture list lends itself to them getting better as the campaign goes on, especially with the Intercontinental Cup to come over the winter. I just think it's intriguing. I think there's going to be more to come from the likes of Napoli, Liverpool and Arsenal. Arsenal were better last season. I think there's more to come from them in the Champions League. They've still got something to prove, the same with Liverpool after winning the Premier League last season and Napoli in Serie A. It's a bit of a shame we know Scottish teams, I don't think, but it's just so open, and those three teams especially, there's got to be an upset somewhere.
Yeah, well, time to crack on by looking ahead to game week one, and we'll start off in priority order with the big clash at the Allianz Arena, because Bayern Munich against Chelsea, of course, brings back memories of that first ever European Cup success for the Blues. Bayern 13-20 to win the clash on Wednesday evening. It's 16-5 the draw, and Chelsea 15-4. Bayern knocked out in the quarterfinals, Jack, in four of the last 5 years. I suppose the big factor now for Vincent Kompany is to make sure that they can get past that quarterfinal stage and can be real competitors.
Yeah, I do worry again that that might be their ceiling. They won't have any problem qualifying, I don't think. But they're a bit like Manchester United, and everyone knows Manchester United need midfielders. Bayern don't have any fullbacks at all. They've got Konrad Leimer, who'll be playing right back on Wednesday. He's a central midfielder. Josh Stanisic is a right back or a centre half. He'll be left back. They can be got at. You imagine Cole Palmer will come back in for Chelsea in this game. They just look vulnerable to me, Bayern Munich, but they have made a flying start at home.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at them in the Bundesliga and the goals that they get and the attacking talent they've got, and obviously they've added Luis Diaz to that over the summer, the likes of Olise and Gnabry and Harry Kane, they have got probably as big a goal threat as anybody in the competition. But when it comes against those top sides where you're having to defend a bit more than ordinarily you would do, of course, in the league. You've already alluded to it there, Jack, is that they tend to struggle a little bit because they're having to play players out of position.
Yeah, well, they scored 14 times in the Bundesliga so far and only conceded twice, which is good. They've also got Jonathan Tah from Bayer Leverkusen, which is an upgrade on what they had before. But it's just in those wide areas that I just find it strange as well. They let João Paulinho go. I think he struggled to adapt to Vincent Kompany's particular style of football. He was bought almost as a Thomas Tuchel signing, and all ended in tears in Bavaria. And then he didn't quite get a run. But I think in the second season, when he's had time to adapt, he could have been a big player for Bayern this season. But they look brilliant going forward, open going backwards. And I think Chelsea are going to score. However, I still think Bayern are going to win. I think Bayern and both teams to score is my pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just touching on Chelsea as well, because they are in a similar situation a little bit, where they look, you know, very potent going forward, but potentially defensively, they've had their issues as well.
Yeah, a bit like Bayern, they signed a lot of attacking players, but not done much at the back, have they? It seems, yeah, so many playmakers, so many wide players. Liam Delap's absence is a bit of a worry, I think. He's not going to play until the winter. But yeah, they are good going forward, but they can be a bit sloppy. They had 16 shots at Brentford and only scored twice. I think they should have been a bit better in that London derby. There's so much potential in this side. I think they might be a bit like PSG from last season, actually, where they are going to improve as the campaign goes on.
Yeah, Jack and I agree on this. Bayern to win and both teams to score looks like a decent bet. And around about 15-8, just to remind you that Bayern won both home and away when the teams last met in 2019-20 season. But I do think Chelsea are a different proposition this time around. So that's 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening at the Allianz Arena. At the same time, Liverpool kick off their Champions League campaign at home to Atletico Madrid. The Reds are 4-7 to claim the victory here. Atletico as big as 9-2, and it's 31-10 the draw. We just go back to previous years under Diego Simeone with Atletico, Jack, and we keep saying they're solid at the back, they're hard to break down. They're not that team anymore. They're a bit of a different outfit.
No, well, they won for the first time, didn't they, the weekend? I mean, some really disappointing results. I think beating Villarreal 2-0 is a very good thing, especially as Villarreal are one of the other Champions League sides. But he clearly is not quite sure about how best to set up defensively. David Hanko might play left back at Anfield, but they've got a couple of other options. He could also play centre-half. There's been a big overhaul at Atletico. Simeone's trying to build a new side, moving on from the last team to win the title, and it's still to settle down.
Yeah, I mean, centre-back Matteo Ruggeri was brought in from Atalanta over the summer. He's just starting to find his feet, you feel, at the moment. And Liverpool, at the other end of the pitch, haven't necessarily been prolific since that opening day victory over Bournemouth. Big question marks whether Alexander Isak will feature. I don't think he will. He wasn't amongst the substitutes at Burnley on Sunday. And there are claims that they are a bit concerned about his match fitness at the moment, of course, with no pre-season behind him and having not played for Newcastle this season. So there is that little bit of concern for Liverpool. They have won 4 from 4. They've not been at their best, but they've kept clean sheets in the last two games. And I'm just looking at this, Jack. Potentially for me, under 2.5 goals the way to go at 13-10. We said Atletico aren't the side they were defensively before. They're still quite a solid unit. And I just think that Simeone will probably go and go to Anfield and try and make it as difficult as possible.
Yeah, they'll definitely come with a plan, won't they? And he will have been keeping something back, you feel, in the opening few weeks as he decides what's the best moves for his team. They kept a clean sheet at the weekend. I think it'll be a tight occasion, unlike when they played the final game before COVID, 3-2 at Anfield. Atletico won that night. They were fantastic. I remember watching it. I think there is a weakness on the left side of the Atletico defence, though. And so I'm looking at Mohamed Salah to score. It's about 6-5. He keeps being written off, but the numbers don't lie, do they? Yes, he had a bit of a slow start to the season. Still scored 3 goals for club and country, including at the weekend. And with that inside right position in the Liverpool attack, outside left in the Atletico Madrid defence, I just think there's a gap there. And a trademark slalom in Salah run and score is my pick.
OK, well, we're going to move on now to another of the Premier League teams who are playing in action on Thursday evening. What a start to Newcastle's return to the Champions League when they play host to Barcelona at St James's Park. There's some disappointing Dundee school kids around because they're going to miss out on the opportunity to see the game, having controversially got the tickets in the first place. But Newcastle 11-5 to claim the victory in this one. Barcelona 11-10 and the draw 11-4. My first instinct looking down at the prices, Jack, is that Barcelona are a very tempting odds against here, especially when you consider Newcastle's issues in front of goal at the moment.
You don't see it a lot, do you? And especially coming in after a 6-0 win over Valencia. It's been an interesting start of the season with Barcelona. Hansi Flick's even questioned the attitude of some of his players, both individually in the press and collectively, which is that's not his style, but they were a lot better at the weekend. Maybe the September break has done them some good. It is a really good price against the Newcastle side, who are another team who's still trying to find out how they're going to play. They play back four, back three. Obviously, we've already mentioned Alexander Isak. They're still adapting to life after him too.
Yeah, no Johan Visser either, because he's out for at least 6 weeks by the sounds of things with a knee injury. They have kept clean sheets though, Newcastle, in three of the first four league games, and that's probably why I'm kind of steering away from a potential result selection here in this one, because I've gone with Bruno Guimarães to be booked in this game, and you can get 7-4 on the Brazilian to be cautioned. He's been booked in the last two home games, including that victory over Wolves at the weekend. He's going to be fired up. It's going to be a raucous atmosphere at St James's as it was for the Liverpool Monday night football a couple of weeks ago as well. And I think it wouldn't be a massive surprise to see Bruno in that midfield battle receive a card. What are you looking at here, Jack, for your best bet?
Yeah, I'm struggling to find a match winner or a result option here. I'm actually going to go for a couple of goal scorers in a double. I think we're legally obliged to say they love a number nine up there, don't they, when we talk about Newcastle. I know Nick Waltimada wears number 27. Wissa's got the number nine shirt, but I don't quite know what to make of him at the moment. But again, the numbers don't lie, and we don't know what to make of him, and defenders clearly don't either. He's tall, but he's skillful. He's ungainly, but he's got a bit of class. Scored at the weekend against Wolves. I fancy him to score, and in a double with Robert Lewandowski, who scored for his first couple of goals of the season off the bench at the weekend. I think Ferran Torres has played really well. Obviously, Hansi Flick's looking to life after Lewandowski's 37 at the moment, but he's got 105 Champions League goals. And this is the kind of night where I think Barca might have to play from deep and go long a bit more often than they would usually, trying to go through the phases. And against Big Dan Burn and the gang, they're going to need someone to get his elbows out and just be awkward, a bit like Waltimada. And he's got a wonderful record. It's going to be Waltimada's first Champions League appearance after being left out of Stuttgart's squad last season. Different story for Lewandowski. It's going to be his 134th Champions League appearance, and I fancy them both to score in a double at 11-2.
Okay, well, at the same time, Manchester City start their Champions League campaign, and it's a case of friends reunited somewhat when they entertain Napoli at the Etihad Stadium on Thursday night, because, of course, it will see the return of Kevin De Bruyne, who left during the summer. City 4-6 to claim the victory. It's 4-1 Napoli and 3-1 the draw here. City, what did you make of them against Manchester United, Jack? Are they on the right track now? Are we going to see a bit of a resurgence, or are there still some question marks?
Are you asking me, are they officially back?
Are they back?
I'm not sure, because they were back after Wolves and then struggled against Spurs, didn't they, and then Brighton. I thought they were pretty impressive on Sunday, but at the same time, Manchester United don't have a midfield and City have a very good one, don't they? I think that the signs are there. They're obviously trying to move on with the way they're set up defensively. I think Napoli are going to come with a plan. It's going to be interesting to see how they set up. Kevin De Bruyne has scored against Fiorentina, and Scott McTominay plays a marauding left winger at the moment. There's all sorts of little tactical battles across the field.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, there's a bit of a point to prove, not only for De Bruyne, who I think felt a little bit hard done by not being offered a new deal at City, but the likes of McTominay and even Billy Gilmore in there as well, the former Premier League players, to show that they can still do it at the top level. As Jack mentioned there, Napoli did win 3-1 at Fiorentina on Saturday. A quick start might be the best route here. They were 2-0 up within 15 minutes at the weekend, and they might try and get out the blocks quickly. I suppose as well with City, Jack, I mean, you mentioned there the midfield. A few question marks still probably over the fitness of Rodri. Can he play two games so close together, back to back? I know they brought him off towards the end of the Manchester derby, but he played the majority of the game. What does Pep Guardiola do? Does he try to sort of ease him back in, or is he just too important?
I think he's too important to get injured again, so I think he's got to ease him back in. I think this would be a good game as well for Nico Gonzalez to start. Napoli are going to come with a plan. I think Antonio Conte, we know he's a great domestic coach, but he's not quite done it in Europe. And like I say, he'll come with a plan. I think that will be to sit deep, because he won't want a repeat of Erling Haaland streaming in behind defences, as what has been the case or was on Sunday. Yeah, Rodri's just too important to get injured again. I think it's taken longer than they thought and longer than they hoped. And he can't be risked in a game that, well, Napoli will sit deep. I think they'll counter-attack quick. And Nico's not Rodri, but he might be more mobile.
Yeah, potentially. City have, by the way, won just two of their last five home league games in the Champions League. Because of all that, of what we said, and a few sort of unsure factors, I'm going to go with a draw here. At 29-10, I think, like you say, Napoli will come and try and make life difficult for City, and City might be tempted into making a few changes from the weekend because of the busy fixture schedule coming up. And of course, they've got Arsenal away in the league at the weekend. No small game in terms of that. What are you tempted by here, Jack?
I just can't get away from Haaland. Like you, I'm struggling to pick a winner, but 49 goals in 48 Champions League appearances. almost goes without saying, he will be the fastest player to reach 50 when he does get to that mark. He'll be the 10th player to do so, but he's got a lot of breathing room to do it. I think whether Napoli push high, they sit deep, he's in such good form. 11 goals already for club and country this season, 6 outings. You can't ignore him at the moment.
Well, we'll move on now till Tuesday's games, and we'll start off at the San Mamés, where Athletic Bilbao will take on Arsenal. And I can tell you that the home side are 100-30 to claim the 3 points. Arsenal 17-20 and the draw 12-5 here. Bilbao lost 1-0 at home on Saturday, and only two of the four goals they've scored at the San Mamés this season, Jack, have been penalties, which doesn't bode well when you're coming up against a very stubborn and awkward Arsenal backline.
And especially when Nico Williams takes the penalties, he's not going to play because he got injured on international duty. And yeah, you mentioned Arsenal's stubborn backline. I remember this time last season when they drew 0-0 away at Atalanta and didn't land a shot, but Atalanta had 22 efforts. David Reyes saved a penalty. And I think the San Mamés is going to be rocking. Bilbao have got a great home record in Europe. They've won 14 of the last 18. First time they've been in the Champions League since 2014-15. It's going to be a big occasion. But if Arsenal can see out the first 20 minutes, the way they play at the weekend against Nottingham Forest, I think they're going to be too good.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see a way that Bilbao win this. I was really disappointed with Bilbao when I saw them against Manchester United in the Europa League last season. You thought they had the credentials there, especially at home, with the final being in Bilbao. There was everything in their favour to go on and win that tie, and they really disappointed me, I have to say. Arsenal have conceded just one goal in 4 Premier League games so far this season. That was the stunner from Dominic Szoboszlai at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. I think we're pretty much on the same wavelength here, Jack. I'm going for Arsenal to win 2-0 at 9-4. Similarly for you?
Yeah, that was my runner-up option, if you like, is Arsenal under 2.5 goals. I just think they're going to stifle the game. No Saliba, no problem. Mosquera played really well at the weekend. And I think they're going to get a goal and then just hold on to it and see it out. I just don't see how Athletic, without Nico Williams especially. Inaki will probably have a big game. He may get to play on the left-hand side because his brother's not going to be there. But even so, I just don't think they're going to have enough going forward. And Arsenal, the Kings are nicking one on the break.
Yeah, oh well, North London is normally divided, and it will be certainly on Tuesday, because at the same time, Arsenal are playing in Bilbao. Tottenham are at home to another Spanish team in Villarreal. That is an 8 o'clock kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and Spurs 17-20 to win the game. It's 3-1 Villarreal, 11-4 the draw. It's going to be really interesting here, Jack, to see how Thomas Frank takes to European football, because I think we all kind of rate him as a Premier League manager, the jobs that he's done at Brentford and so far at Spurs. This is another level.
Yeah, and it's balancing the weekend midweek football, isn't it? It's not easy, but it's a better opportunity as a manager when you've got a whole week to work on your next opponents. But he's going to have to be savvier from that point of view, especially against an opponent like Villarreal, who they know what they're doing at this level, don't they? But they've not had a great start to the season. They lost 2-0. Against Atletico at the weekend, almost snuck in as the extra place in the league last season. They made some interesting signings. George Mikatadze, an impressive one from Lyon. But to me, this looks like the perfect start for Tottenham. Everyone knows Villarreal are a good opposition. But when you think about it, Spurs should win this one.
Yeah, they should do. Although at 17-20, I think it's quite a short price, especially when consider that Tottenham's last home game was a defeat to Bournemouth, and they were well beaten on that occasion as well by the Cherries. One man who will probably be public enemy number one is the former Arsenal forward, Nicolas Pepe, who scored twice already this season and could prove a handful for the Spurs backline. I'm going to go with a bit of a different bet here, because I'm going to go with headers on target from Christian Romero, 0.5. You can back at 3-1. In some areas for that. And, you know, Tottenham caused West Ham problems from set pieces at the weekend. We know what Thomas Frank is capable of in terms of organising his team from corners as well. And I just don't think Villarreal have got the kind of physical attributes inside the penalty area that will be able to cope with Tottenham. And I think Romero will be coming up for numerous set pieces and may well be one to watch there. I think 3-1 looks a good price. What have you spotted for this game, Jack?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a grind as well. We've seen that from Spurs' games so far, all four of them have ended in the Premier League with one of the team not scoring, haven't they? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a Spurs win to nil at home. 12-5, I thought, was an incredible price. I've mentioned Villarreal's attacking prowess, but I think the way Thomas Frank organises his side, he'll nullify them. And similar to you, set pieces was the way I was looking. I think Spurs will have an advantage in that area and grind out an opening victory to nil.
Okay, well, we've covered all of the English side so far who are in action in midweek. We're going to pick out two other standout games now to look forward to. And we'll start off with another 8 p.m. kickoff on Tuesday. And that is at the Bernabeu, where Real Madrid are at home to Marseille. Real are 1-3 to claim the victory. It's 7-1 Marseille and 9-2 the draw. Jack, you keep a keen eye on French football in particular. What have you made of Marseille so far this season?
Well, they've won twice at home and lost twice away. I think I described them as the Jerry Maguire team this time last year. Show me the money. And there is a bit of that going on. They've already had a big fallout with Adrien Rabiot and Jonathan Rowe, both who've departed after having a scrap in the changing room after losing on the first weekend at Rennes. Roberto De Zerbi doesn't tend to stick around too long when things start to go wrong. Maybe I'm being a bit unfair there, but I've just got a feeling it's going to be end in tears, implode. It's the Marseille way, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it tends to be, doesn't it? There's always some controversial incidents going on in Marseille. Real Madrid, meanwhile, in contrast, I think they've gone about things pretty quietly for them since Xabi Alonso took over. Four La Liga wins out of four so far. They've scored eight and conceded just two goals. And it's almost, you know, as I say, not really the Real Madrid way. Normally there's stories coming out here, there and everywhere, transfers galore. Xabi Alonso's come in. He's been pretty calm about things. Got no concern in terms of dropping big name players. We've seen Trent Alexander-Arnold left out on a couple of occasions, but they've got the squad, I think, Jack, to be contenders again this time around.
Yeah, they've got some key players back as well. Eder Militao has started getting into the side again. And massive win at the weekend, 2-1 away at Real Sociedad, despite Dean Huijsen being sent off in the first half. That is a real statement of victory, you feel, because Sociedad's always difficult opponents, difficult to play in San Sebastian. And that's a huge victory, I think, and is a really good momentum booster with Militao back in the side. He also gives Xabi Alonso options whether he wants to play a back three or a back four as well. The pieces seem to be falling into place regardless of what shape they're playing as well. Real Madrid, it seems quite settled, as you were saying. There's also an interesting situation on the left of midfield. Alonso seems to have decided that Rodrigo is going to play on the left or isn't going to play at all. Yeah. Vinny Jr. played at the weekend on the left, but Rodrigo didn't get off the bench. And I wonder if he's keeping him sharp, because he has looked very sharp so far. And I wonder if he's keeping him fresh to play him, because Vinicius Jr. is just not quite there at the moment, whereas Rodrigo, he's just one of those players. He's fancy, he's flashy, he's skillful, but he's got work rate and you always get 8 out of 10 out of him as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that Arda Güler has also been given a regular start now as well under Xabi Alonso, which is good to see. Clearly a star of the future, a star of the present, Kylian Mbappe, who's already got four goals and will be desperately keen to shine against a fellow French outfit, of course, in Marseille. And I've got him to score first. It's 12-5 or around about that to get the opening goal. Jack, what's your best bet for Real Madrid-Marseille?
Yeah, well, Mbappe's got a mega record on the match day one. He's scored the last three seasons, and it feels inevitable against a Marseille side. Still find themselves at the back. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's actually got a good record against Real Madrid, albeit some time ago in the Champions League when he was at Borussia Dortmund. I'm not ruling out Marseille scoring, but I just don't fancy them in defence. I'm going over 3.5 goals in this game. That's the right side of it, evens. It's 11-10. And it could be a real free-for-all this game.
Well, last but not least, we're going to look at the defending champions, because PSG start off their campaign at home to Atalanta on Wednesday evening. Again, an 8 o'clock kickoff there in the French capital. PSG 12-25 to claim the win. It's 5-1 Atalanta and 15-4 the draw. Now, I have to start off with the big news here, and that is that Jack and I fancy that there might be a bit of an upset here. And when you look at the injury news coming out of Paris, Jack, at the moment, and as you mentioned earlier on, the way that they started slowly in last season's competition, you know, you wouldn't rule out Atalanta causing a surprise here.
No, you wouldn't. Understandably, I don't think it's been voiced publicly, but PSG are still basically in pre-season. They trained for a week before they played Spurs in the UEFA Super Cup. Luis Enrique's rotated in the opening weeks of the campaign. He went on a cycling holiday and unfortunately broke his collarbone. That's how relaxed things are in Paris. They were all right against Lens at the weekend, 2-0 victory, but it was all kind of playing within themselves against an opponent. Didn't offer too much on the break. We mentioned they have the confidence of knowing that they can build through the campaign. It always used to be labelled or thrown at them that they hit the ground running in the Champions League. Come the spring, it was all over. They showed exactly the opposite last season. Atalanta, an interesting one. Ivan Juric is the coach. Forget Southampton. Pretend it never happened. His record's fantastic before then. So I don't think that should be held against him. They were really good at the weekend. Their best performance under him so far. Beating Lecce 4-1.
Yeah, and if you look at the injury news, as we briefly mentioned before, no Ousmane Dembele, no Désiré Doué, and it looks like now Kvaratskhelia is going to miss out as well, because he went off at the weekend with a knee injury and, with a torn calf, I think it was, in the end. And if it is properly torn, I mean, you're looking at least a month out from there. So three of the biggest names are not going to be in that squad. And that would just give Atalanta a huge lift when they see the team sheet as well. And as Jack says, they've already shown, not only in Serie A, but in Europe as well over recent seasons, going on to win, of course, the Europa League a couple of years ago, that they are more than capable at this level. I'm going with double chance Atalanta at 2-1. I think you probably agree, Jack.
Exactly. I think Bradley Barker scoring both of PSG's goals the weekend means he can make up a bit of the shortfall from the Doué and Dembele absentees. But Gonçalo Ramos hasn't really convinced since moving to PSG. It's a really interesting fixture list Atalanta have got, because if they get something in Paris, the next two games are both at home against Club Brugge and Slavia Prague. I know Brugge knocked them out last season, but they're very winnable fixtures. And if they can get a point in Paris and maybe four from those two home games, they're pretty much in the league phase, you'd think, with five games still to go. I think they can get something. I know it's the price of 6-1 for the away victory. You almost can't ignore it, but there's enough value in the 2-1 for the draw, win double chance, that it's worth taking on.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there. That is the roundup then of the significant Champions League encounters coming up this week. Up shortly, we'll bring you the Bet Builder, a treble selection, and also the naps from both Jack and I. Well, the Champions League gets underway, as I say, on Tuesday. Games across 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And we have come up with a Bet Builder for you of around about 4-1 for the big game at the Allianz Arena on Wednesday, where Bayern Munich play host to Chelsea. I think both Jack and I are confident that both teams will score in that game. Defensively, not looking great, neither Bayern or Chelsea, but going forward, they have got attackers aplenty, and we feel like it will be both teams to score in that clash. We're also looking at Harry Kane to get on the score sheet. Kane has got no fewer than 8 goals in his career against the Blues, mainly, of course, during his time at Tottenham, and he got a brace again at the weekend as well, as Bayern romped to victory in the Bundesliga. So they're the first two legs. And leg three is Cole Palmer to have over 0.5 shots on target in the game at the Allianz Arena. Palmer, of course, showed his importance to Chelsea at the weekend, coming off the bench to get a goal in that draw with Brentford. So just a reminder of the Champions League Bet Builder this week then on the Euro assist. It is both teams to score, Harry Kane to score at any time, and over 0.5 shots on target from Cole Palmer, which comes in at around about 4-1. Well, each round of fixtures we bring you, we'll consider a treble, of course, as well across the week. But for this first week, it's going to be slightly different, because Racing Post duo Mark Langdon and James Milton, along with professional tipster Nick Goff, have given us their treble selection for match day one. And just to remind you, this is a boosted treble thanks to the guys at SBK. So here's what Mark, James and Nick have come up with.
Let's talk match day one, treble. Our friends at SBK are going to boost this as well. So we're going down the line, Mark. At the time of recording, we are, what, some week away from match day one. Who's the best bet?
I'm going to go for Juventus to beat Borussia Dortmund. So for Miltz's Gerassi tip, hopefully it's like 6-4 or something like that. But I would say I was pretty negative on Dortmund. I thought they were poor at the Club World Cup. And now what does that form mean? We're not quite sure. But they really didn't impress me. They weren't great for much of last season either. And then already this season, they've conceded 3 goals at St. Pauli. So I would have concerns about Dortmund when they're up against teams at their type of level. And I would say Juventus with home advantage, so as we speak, currently trading just a shade of odds against. Hard to know exactly what Serie A is, because it's definitely a league that, you know, takes a bit of a battering. But Inter reached the final last season, and so, you know, I'm not one of those that thinks that Italian football's, you know, completely on the floor just yet. Juventus last season just drew too many games. They had like an incredible run of draws. Bremer, the centre-back, got injured, missed most of the season, and you can almost pinpoint the moment at where it started to go wrong for Thiago Motta was around when Bremer got injured. He's back now. I like Jonathan David up front. I think he was a smart pickup, one of those players that gets linked with just about every club. Finally went to Juventus. Vlahovic was the kind of poster boy of that attack, and I've always thought I didn't think he was overrated at the start. By now, I think he's massively overrated. He always gets talked up when he plays for Serbia, and like, just think he's just not as good as people think. So I think Jonathan David up front has made a difference to them. So in both boxes, they're a better team than I think they were last season. So I'll go for Juventus to beat Borussia Dortmund.
I like it. Don't sleep on Juve then, according to Lango. What about yourself, Miltz?
Yeah, I'm going for Liverpool to beat Atletico Madrid. I mean, Liverpool so good at Anfield in the league phase last season, won all 4 of their games, and that included, you know, demolished Leverkusen and beat Real Madrid as well. And I think we've mentioned that we're all a little bit negative on Atletico. You know, really poor start in La Liga. I think they've taken 2 points from games against Espanyol, Elche and Alaves. And, you know, a trip to Anfield is a significant step up for them.
OK, well, SBK are going to be boosting this treble, Nick. So give us a good thing then, match day one.
Yeah, I'll go for Olympiacos to beat Paphos. I think it's great for the Champions League itself to have these new size Kairat, Paphos, Karabag in the 36. It freshens it up a little bit. They've done extremely well to qualify. Kairat by beating Celtic. I just think these teams are going to find this extremely tough. It's a sort of dream first match for them to be going to Greece.
Yeah.
But Olympiacos are a proper, you know, stellar European football side. And this is going to be a real tough test for Paphos. And, you know, at the price, I'm happy to have Olympiacos in the treble.
Well, if you want to watch the whole SBK European football preview show, you can find the link down below. Or you can find it also on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We're going to conclude this week's Euro Assist with the naps of the week, the best bets from myself and Jack. And Jack, what are you looking at first for your nap?
Well, I'm looking at that Arsenal victory and a tight game, really, in Bilbao. As I've said, I think they're going to really strangle things. It's going to be Arsenal 2-0 for me. It'll be a big night at San Mamés. A lot going on, but a bit like Manchester United, you mentioned it in the Europa League last season. See out the first 20 minutes, and Arsenal, I think, will cruise home, albeit in a bit of a grinding fashion.
Well, earlier on, I said that Mbappe to score first was my pick for Real Madrid Marseille, but in terms of the nap, I'm going to go with Real to win to nil against the Liga Earn side. You can get 6-4 on that as well, which I think is a really good price. I just think Xabi Alonso is just an impressive character all round. Brilliant job at Bayer Leverkusen. He's pretty seamlessly taken over from Carlo Ancelotti at the Bernabeu, and Real Madrid look like they've got the strength in depth again this season to be there or thereabouts, challenging for the trophy. Just to remind you then the two naps, Jack's selection, Arsenal to win to nil against Athletic Bilbao, and for me, Real Madrid to win to nil against Marseille. Big thanks to Jack for all his input on this week's Euro Assist. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. There's a busy week of content for you as well on YouTube with us, with the sweet spot as ever on Tuesday. If you're a golf fan, Steve Palmer will be back with his selections. The Punt Team NFL show is on Wednesday, looking ahead to game week 3 in the American football. And we'll return with the domestic version of the assist on Thursday. For now, though, enjoy your football this week. And as ever, please remember to gamble responsibly.